And talking about election coverage right here on Breakfast Now, it's time for The Crunch. The Crunch, our regular political panel with Arthur Sinodinos, Cabinet Secretary, and Chris Bowen, Labor's Shadow Treasurer. And arguments over the numbers, the costings of promises by both major parties, have dominated much of week three of this election campaign. A gift for the government, with opposition campaign notes being left behind after a pretty touchy interview with Labor's shall we call him embattled MP, David Feeney, last night. And bubbling away under the radar, the issue of political donations, with top Liberal fundraiser Michael Yabsley telling Four Corners at the start of this week that the donation system is broken.
I believe this is now crunch time. You know, the damage that has been done to the reputations of many, many individuals, to the reputations of many companies, and the reputations of the major political parties, it all points to the absolute case to do away with the system of political fundraising that we currently have.
That was Michael Yabsley, prominent Liberal Party fundraiser of the past. Well, our crunch panel, Arthur Sinodinos, Coalition Cabinet Secretary. Arthur is out on the campaign trail, directly advising the Prime Minister at the moment in this election. Chris Bowen is Labor's Shadow Treasurer. Gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to The Crunch.
G'day, good Chris. Good day, Fran.
Good morning, Fran. Good
morning, we're going to come to the whole costings debate in a moment, but let's go to the issue of donations, because Michael Yabsley happened to say this is now crunch time, and this is crunch time, Arthur Sinodinos. Is Michael Yabsley right? Have too many reputations been damaged by the current system of political donations? Is it time to change things, and how would you change them?
Well, I'll give you a personal view, because when I was at the ICAC, I was asked about reform, and I said I think we need a system which restricts donations to individuals on the electorate roll. There's national consistency of the legislation, and we have real-time disclosure. I think it is, from a personal point of view, I think it would be good to go to a reformed system. It's probably not an issue that will dominate this campaign. It's probably an issue to be pursued after the campaign, but certainly I'm on the record in this regard, others in the coalition, and I know others in other parties on the record on this. And frankly, we do need a system which does not put the political system, the disclosure system, that does not put the political system in a difficult position.
And what limit would you put on those individual donations?
Well look, you can look at all sorts of limits. Yabsley had an idea about that. In New South Wales, I think it was 5,000, or it could be 1,000. I don't have a settled view on that. I'm expressing here a personal view, and it's something that I've indicated before I'd pursue in the next parliament if I'm fortunate enough to be elected.
Chris Bowen, does that pretty much, do we have bipartisanship here? Labor's committed to a $1,000 cap on donations and real-time donations, haven't they?
It's not really bipartisanship, Fran, when all Arthur can do is express a personal view. He's the cabinet secretary. Now, Labor's, I can express a personal view and a party view as the alternative government. And it's a very consistent view. We have moved very consistently in Parliament, and we've been blocked by the Liberal and National parties at every turn, and Arthur has voted against reduced thresholds of disclosure. The Howard government increased the threshold and indexed it. It's now at $13,000. So you can donate a lot of money anonymously, in effect, in Australia, and that is not appropriate. The threshold should be $1,000. We have consistently moved that in Parliament and been blocked at every turn. I would hope that Arthur would vote for it next time, given he's just expressed a personal view. And we've also said that if elected, we'll send a reference to the Joint Standing Committee for real-time disclosure, because technology's moved quickly here. This is now being done elsewhere in the world, and this is worth a very good examination to see if it can be done in Australia. No reason why it shouldn't be able to be done, but we just need to work out the best way of doing it.
And Chris Bowen, one thing I'm never clear about, when Labor says that, a 1,000 cap on donations, does that mean cutting the financial umbilical cord with the trade unions, not taking those massive donations?
It's transparency, Fran. It's about making sure that people are doing this in an open and transparent way.
Well, does that mean the unions can donate $200,000 or not?
People should be able to donate in Australia, but it should be open and transparent. And the Liberal National Party and Arthur have voted at every turn.
So it's not a cap on donations, it's a cap on what's revealed.
No. I'm talking about individuals. I'm talking about, and this is exactly the point.
But you're talking about saying putting a maximum amount on what people can donate. Is that what you're saying?
Are you asking me?
Yes, Arthur, sorry.
Yeah.
Chris, well, you're saying something different.
Well, good luck getting that through your party room, Arthur. I mean, that your party has voted against better transparent disclosure at every single opportunity.
Well, I wasn't in the parliament when the Faulkner stuff came out. I'm expressing my view.
Well, I can express my view and I can express the view of the alternative
government. Okay, I'd like to go now and hear more of you from, before we come to the campaign, which we will, just Michael Yabsley to finish this, because the donations issue is creating a particular problem for the New South Wales branch of the Liberal Party. You know, the electoral commissions withhold that $4.4 million of public funding. Arthur, it's creating a particular problem for you too, because you were federal treasurer, I think, or state treasurer at the time, or state president.
Honorary treasurer. Yep.
The foundation donated $700,000 to the New South Wales Liberals during 2010-2011, and Michael Yabsley, who was the party fundraiser at the time, admitted to Four Corners that he knew some of those donations were illegal. Let's have a listen.
Were you aware at the time that donors who were prohibited from donating in New South Wales were being asked to donate through the Free Enterprise Foundation and for their funds to go back to New South Wales?
In a couple of cases, yes, and you know, there we're talking about property developers, owners of certain licensed premises. Yes, I don't think there was a great secret about the fact that that was happening.
No great secret, but Arthur, you, even though you were an office bearer, didn't know. How could this be?
Well, let's go to Mr. Yabsley's evidence before the ICAC.
Well, that was his own words.
In sworn evidence to the ICAC, he said he played no role in the 2011 state campaign or any knowledge of arrangements in that campaign. His role was in relation to the federal campaign in New South Wales in 2010. Now, if there's some difference between what he said there and what he said since...
Well, we just heard him.
Well, that is a matter for Mr. Yabsley to clean up.
Well, we just heard him. He says he was aware of donations from developers in some cases. Are you saying you weren't?
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 22 past eight. Let's move on to this election campaign. Costings have been the contested ground of the campaign this week by and large. Highlighted again on Sky Agenda last night by David Spears when Victorian Labor power broker David Feeney couldn't answer a direct question about whether Labor would be abolishing the $4.5 billion school kids bonus. Let's have a listen to that.
Will Labor keep the school kids bonus?
The baby bonus.
The school kids bonus.
You'd have to refer to our relevant shadow. I've been a little distracted over the last few days.
Okay, well, let's ask the relevant shadow. We happen to have the shadow treasurer with us, Chris Bowen. Will Labor keep the school kids bonus?
Labor opposed the repeal of school kids bonus. That was our vote in Parliament. The government got it through with the Clive Palmer Party. So if it was up to Labor, we would still have the school kids bonus. But we've now had the pre-election economic forecast. We know that the government has tripled the budget deficit. We know the AAA credit rating is under real threat. So we are taking a very responsible approach in all our promises. Now, families will be better off under Labor because we won't be proceeding with the cuts to family tax benefit in the way that the government's proposing, and that is a real difference for families. But we will not be able to afford to bring back the school kids bonus.
So you won't bring back the school kids bonus. What about the pension assets test?
Well, similarly, Fran, the Liberal Party and the Greens voted this one through. Again, this was something which we had a view on in the Parliament. But we can't restore all the damage that this Abbott Turnbull government has done in one term, so we won't be in a position to reverse that change immediately. We understand that these changes have introduced perverse incentives in some cases, so we will have a review of how the pension system and the assets test and the superannuation system interact. But again, we are not going to make any unrealistic promises. Given the pressure on the budget, which the Liberal Party has created on their watch, we are taking a very responsible approach. And that is what I'm saying to you as Shadow Treasurer this morning. When Labor announces its policies, it's best to get them from Labor spokespeople, not Scott Morrison and Matthias Cormann, because they just engage in a deceitful exercise to try and, as has been blatantly exposed this week, in a ridiculous and shrill press conference, in which was not a mistake. If Joe Hockey had made those errors, I'd say maybe he didn't know. When Scott Morrison makes those errors, I say it is a deliberate intention of misleading the Australian people about Labor's policies.
Arthur Sinodinos, has Chris Bowen just taken a bit of wind out of the sails of your tack, put another black hole in your black hole costings?
The fact that we have to sit here and extract these points from the Shadow Treasurer suggests the ongoing confusion in Labor about what they're going to do. The fact that David Feeney could not articulate what the position was yesterday, and he's a member of the Shadow Ministry, just shows the confusion that's going on. The further confusion in all this is that Labor are talking about how they might be able to cover what they're doing over 10 years. We have no assurance they can do it over 4 years, which is the forward estimates. And we're
we haven't seen their numbers yet, though.
And we're being told by Chris Bowen that even if he produces numbers at the end of this election for the public, probably in the dying days of the campaign, we will have to wait 3 months for him to produce a mini budget, which will create further uncertainty for business and for the economy.
Quite the contrary, Arthur. Just before we get into that,
I want to ask you, Arthur Sinodinos, you're a very experienced Chief of Staff to John Howard at a time when Peter Costello was absolutely adamant that numbers had to be counted, recounted and correct. Were you embarrassed about that press conference during the week where Scott Morrison and Matthias Cormann completely over-egged the degree of Labor spending, in a sense, made up items that Labor, as we've just heard, I suppose, that Labor would be, amounts Labor would be spending? I mean, the government's now had to revise its Labor black hole from 67 billion down to 32 billion now. Some are saying it's 22 billion. Were you embarrassed?
And no, I wasn't, because the whole purpose of the press conference was to highlight the uncertainty around what Labor has actually promised. For 3 years, they've trailed their coats about restoring this or that cut. Tanya Plibersek is a great example of this. And then when push comes to shove, when you nail them to the floor, you get the sort of responses you're getting from Plibersek and now from Chris Bowen, the Shadow Treasurer. And we've only been able to get these extractions from them because we are putting them under pressure.
What a load
of
nonsense,
creating uncertainty for the public.
Chris? What a load of nonsense. Tanya Plibersek announced our foreign aid policy last weekend before Scott Morrison's press conference. I mean, you guys just make it up as you go. We are being completely transparent. We've led the policy debate. We've released all our costings with every policy we've announced. Now, Joe Hockey released the costings of Liberal policy before the last election on the Thursday afternoon, effectively the day before the election, when the advertising blackout had already commenced. So don't you lecture us about transparency.
Hang on, just let Chris finish, Arthur, then you come in. We are
not taking that approach. Tony Burke and I will be outlining the full impact of Labor's policies on the budget bottom line well before the precedent set by Joe Hockey.
How long before, Chris?
Well before. We're in week three of an eight-week election campaign, Fran, and Arthur and Scott Morrison and others are asking us to announce the budget impact of our policies before we've announced them all.
Arthur?
We've announced a lot of policies. We've still got some to go.
Arthur?
Well, Fran, I'm happy to spend every day of the rest of the campaign extracting one by one commitments from the Labor Party about what they will or will not do.
I'm sure you are, because this is a tactic, isn't it, to keep the debate on the economy.
But the reason for that is we've had to get into the campaign. We've had to get Scott Morrison and Matthias Cormann out there to push Labor to start getting some acknowledgement of the problems. We still don't know what their superannuation policy will be. Jim Chalmers is giving a speech today which suggests they're going to put a whole lot of things on review when they come into government. We've got the Queensland government, a Labor government, raiding Queensland Super for their own purposes. Is this another policy we're going to see in government? When they can't cut spending, they're going to start raiding the Future Fund and other super funds.
Chris, is Labor going to announce it's going to match the government's 1.6 concessional superannuation?
Do you really want to be talking about superannuation, Arthur, with the imbroglio, which is your policy, with you claiming that it's not retrospective when it applies from 2007?
Policy across the board. We are not afraid to tax people who have very high and wealthy nest eggs.
Okay.
Retrospectively. What a change in a position. Again, here's another example. This says it all about this government and the contrast of approach, Fran. We announced our policy last April, not the April just gone, the April before. Scott Morrison and Arthur, but Scott Morrison in particular, personally railed against it, said there was an attack on the nest eggs of Australians. And now, having come very late to the party, having rushed a policy through on budget night, they've got it wrong.
All right, we're almost out of time. I just want to go finally and briefly to the polls kicked off this week, showing again it's pretty tight. Could be, you know, basically 50-50 if we split the difference. Bill Shorten on at least one measure, the net approval rating in the news poll of -12, on level pegging with Malcolm Turnbull. Now, Arthur Sinodinos, I want to really ask you the question of why have the voters fallen out of love with the new Malcolm, so to speak? But I want to play you this graph from Peter Credlin, who is now a campaign commentator on Sky.
Yes, there has been a significant turnaround in the Prime Minister's popularity, 50-odd point turnaround from the leadership spill. I think that's troublesome for someone like Malcolm, who likes to be liked. Some politicians are pretty resilient, they don't need to be liked. I think Malcolm is a politician that likes to be liked.
Arthur Sinodinos, you're out on the campaign trail. How is Malcolm Turnbull's state of mind given those polls? Is he someone who likes to be liked, and is this doing his head in?
First of all, let me make a declaration. I like Malcolm Turnbull, and I think he's got the right background to lead the country. He's been making some tough decisions, including around the budget, and that inevitably can have an impact on a leader's rankings. But he's someone who's got the background and he's got the character to lead the country. And I think this election campaign will vindicate that judgment.
And Chris Bowen, do you trust those polls?
I think two things are happening, Fran, without getting into the weeds of every poll, because otherwise we'll be in poll fatigue
briefly,
in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I think two things are happening. There's great disappointment in Malcolm Turnbull. He had so much promise and he's delivered so little. There was a feeling of relief when he knifed Tony Abbott, but that has dissipated because he has been no better. And secondly, I think people are responding to Bill leading the policy debate, leading the debate with not only our policies, but his vision for the nation. And we've been putting out very detailed plans, as well as talking about some of the challenges and opportunities. We want a policy-based election. The government has just got shrill scare campaigns, personal attacks on those of us in the opposition, including the Prime Minister, has been reduced to pretty silly and ridiculous personal commentary about us. Well, we're not engaging in that game.
Okay.
We're putting out policies, and I think people are responding to that.
All right, if people are even listening yet this far out from the election, but I guess they're going to start tuning in. Maybe Sunday night, the first formal leaders' debate will be the moment that everyone does really switch on. Chris Bowen, Arthur Sinodinos, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Bowen is the Shadow Treasurer and Arthur Sinodinos is the Cabinet Secretary. And if you want more, don't forget the Leaders' Debate, Malcolm Turnbull v Bill Shorten on ABC TV. It'll be televised, the first formal election campaign debate. And the Party Room, of course, Patricia Karvelas and I, another ep of the Party Room comes out this afternoon as we make our way through what's really going on in campaign 2016.